Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Stay awake, for you do not know the day on which your Lord will come. Be sure of this: if the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you also must be prepared, for at an hour you do not expect, the Son of Man will come. Who then is the faithful and prudent steward whom the master has put in charge of his household to distribute to them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds already doing so. Amen, I say to you, he will put him in charge of all his property. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master is long delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eat and drink with drunkards, the servant's master will come on an unexpected day at an unknown hour and will punish him severely to assign him a place with the hypocrites where there will be wailing and grinding of teeth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Today in the Gospel, Jesus describes or contrasts the faithful and prudent servant and the wicked servant. And insofar as each of us wants to be ready for the Lord when He comes, each of us wants to be not a wicked servant who will be sent to the place of wailing and grinding of teeth, but a faithful and prudent servant who will be given the Lord's kingdom. We need to learn from this gospel exactly how to become that type of servant that the Lord wants, will help us to become and expects. There are two essential criteria. First is with regard to our discipleship, our own relationship with the Lord. And that starts with our vigilance. Jesus wants us to be alert always to His presence. He says, just like a house in a bad neighborhood, if they knew what time the burglars were coming, they'd be ready. So in the same way, Jesus isn't trying to be a thief, but we're supposed to be even more alert for His presence. And a lot of the times we can go through life sleepwalking. We'll only alert to His presence on occasion. Sometimes we're not even aware of Him when we're praying. Our mind can be on the planet Neptune when we're at Mass, or when we're praying the rosary, or when we're saying our prayers before we're going to bed. We might not even be alert that the Lord is right there listening to us. So the first thing to be a good and faithful servant is to be alert to the Lord's omnipresence. But that's not enough. There are a lot of us who are aware that the Lord is present, but we don't yet act with the Lord. And that's why Jesus goes into the second part. The faithful and prudent servant, whom the master has put in charge of his household, distributes to them their food at the proper time. And he says, how blessed is that servant whom his master on his arrival finds doing so. This is about our apostolate, that we always must be vigilant for those opportunities to distribute the food God has given us to others, to share with others the treasure of the faith we ourselves, unmerited, have been given by the Lord. To look at every day as an opportunity to do charity, to look at everyone we meet as an opportunity, even for the charity of a smile, or even for the charity of a small little aspiration, asking God to bless that person. But to always be looking for those opportunities to do to others what Jesus would be doing if He were in our shoes. And you know Jesus wouldn't be ignoring people. You know that Jesus wouldn't be just going about His own business without a concern for what their needs would be. Those are the two things, the two criteria that are needed. God wants to help us in that. The beginning of St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, which starts today, St. Paul reminds us that we're all called to be holy, but that work is not fundamentally our own, because in Christ Jesus you have been enriched in every way with all discourse and knowledge, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you await the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will keep you firm to the end, irreproachable on the day of our Lord Jesus, so that whatever time of day or night the Lord comes, the Lord has already planned to give us every richness we need, so that we're not lacking in anything as we await His coming. He wants to give us the grace to remain firm to the end and alert to His presence and alert to the opportunities to love others at every moment, so that we can truly be irreproachable, that we can truly be a good, prudent, and faithful servant. Today we celebrate the feast of a person who for a long length of time in his life was an unfaithful and imprudent servant to the Lord, because he didn't grasp either of these messages, who after his conversion became one of the greatest and most faithful of all. And his conversion can inspire us, if there have been times in our life or even still to this day that we haven't been living up to what the Lord says in today's gospel. St. Augustine, as I mentioned a little bit yesterday, for the first 32 years of his life, basically lived for himself. When he was a teenager, after the death of his parents, he went off in search of learning for vanity's sake. He shacked up with a girl, had a child out of wedlock, was living pretty much a debauched life. He was always searching for the truth. He had a great hunger to learn, first so that everybody could say Augustine was smarter than everybody else. But over the course of time, that developed into a real hunger. He was searching in all these philosophies that were not really compatible with the faith. And eventually he was touched by the goodness of certain Christians he knew. He didn't really want to admit it in his mother, but he started to see that there were, for example, men like St. Ambrose, who had converted to the faith and were using all of their incredible knowledge to serve others with charity. And so his heart was troubled, felt like he was constantly in a thunderstorm, he said, going back and forth. But he didn't have the guts to cut the cord from his life of sinfulness, from his life where he wasn't a steward at all, but he was a master. And then when he saw some simple people really seizing the kingdom of heaven, he said with some arrogance in his own mind, how is it that these simple people are inheriting this incredible gift, and I, with all the knowledge that I've received, am not embracing it? So he ran out into the backyard and he just wept. And at that time he heard something. It was like little children in the next yard over a tall wall singing. And he heard them, tole et lege, tole et lege, take and read, take and read. And he thought that that was a weird game for kids to be playing in northern Italy. But he looked over the wall. He didn't see anybody. And he thought that it might have been a message from an angel. So he went over and he knew that the book that was being talked about would probably be the Bible. And he opened up the Bible and the first page he saw was from the 13th chapter of St. Paul's letter to the Romans, in which St. Paul said, it is the hour now for you to awake from sleep. Been asleep the entire time. For our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is advanced, the day is at hand. Let us throw off the works of darkness. And that's what Augustine had been doing for decades. And put on the armor of light. Let us conduct ourselves properly as in the day, not in orgies or drunkenness, not in promiscuity and licentiousness, not in rivalry and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh. Augustine heard that alarm clock go off. And he awoke. He began to live in the light. Things began to change. He began to see that God had always been there, but he was asleep to the Lord's presence. He was somnambulating, sleepwalking through life. And one of the most famous things ever written in literature, in his Confessions, he wrote that he was late to receive this love of the Lord and to reciprocate it. Late have I loved you, O beauty ever ancient, O beauty ever new. Late have I loved you, he said. You were within me. But I was outside. It was there that I was searching for you. In my unloveliness, I plunged into the lovely things you created, including women, including books. You were with me, but I wasn't with you. Created things had kept me from you. Yet if they had not been in you, they wouldn't have been at all. You called, you shouted, you pierced and broke through my deafness. You flashed, you shone. Notice he's talking about all five senses now. You flashed, you shone, you dispelled my blindness. You breathed your fragrance on me. I drew in breath and now I pant for you. I've tasted you. And now I hunger and thirst for more. You touched me and I burned for your peace. He'd been searching for God, searching for truth. But he was searching in all the wrong places. False philosophies and counterfeit loves. Eventually he discovered that the truth had a name, Jesus Christ, and that his heart, made for Christ's love, would be restless until it rested in God. To rest in God meant to be humble enough to accept God and His truth and live by it. He was awakened. The Lord was there. That was his first great conversion, but it wasn't his last. Pope Benedict in 2007 said that Augustine lived three landmark conversions. And most of the time we only think about that first, that conversion from a life of sin to a life of goodness, from falsity to truth. But that was just the beginning. The second conversion was for him to truly become a good and faithful steward. After his conversion, he had gone back to Africa, he had founded a monastery, he wrote the rule for all the monks with him. A rule that's still famous and being used by so many religious orders today. But just think about that for a second. Imagine if you could have all your friends come into your house and you would write the rule by which everybody would live. It was a pretty cool deal. And Augustine was writing unbelievable books. He was cranking them on out. But one day he went to visit a friend in a place called Hippo. He was attending Mass. He had been ordained a deacon by this point, but he wasn't a priest. He was just out there in the congregation, at which the very old bishop, and it was only bishops who preached at the time, people could barely hear him, and he begged the people to pray. Pray, please send somebody whom I can delegate this task of preaching until I die. Please pray for God to send someone. And everybody in the crowd looks over, and Aurelius Augustinus, the greatest rhetoric professor in the Roman Empire, who had become a monk, was right there among them. And they said, your prayers have been answered. And they were pushing. And Augustine didn't want to have anything to do with this. He wanted to continue to publish. He wanted to continue to live in a place where he would pray. He didn't want to dedicate all his time to simplifying his language to preach to ordinary people. He didn't want to dedicate his time to helping widows with all their financial problems. He didn't want to sacrifice what he was doing for something that he considered that anybody else could do. But that was his second great conversion. He pondered St. Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, where St. Paul said, Christ died for all so that those who live should not live for themselves, but for him who died for them. St. Augustine knew that the Lord was calling him to the real service of others, to give others their food, the food of the nourishment of the Lord at their proper time. So he lived that second conversion wholeheartedly and became a truly model bishop after his priestly and episcopal ordination. But his conversion wasn't done even then. It was a third stage. It brought us back to what St. Paul said in the first letter to the Corinthians, that God would enrich us in every way, that he would give us every spiritual gift. At the very end of his life, Augustine realized that the conversion the Lord was asking was for him to recognize everything he had ever done, everything he had ever preached, was a gift to the Lord. It wasn't so much his talent, it was his use of the gifts that God had given him. It was all a gift of God's mercy, that he was called to see everything as a gift from the Lord, a gift of his merciful love, and then share that mercy with others, so that he wasn't acting by himself any longer, but that he was totally docile to what God was asking at every moment. That's the fulfillment of every conversion, for us to literally turn with, convertere, turn with the Lord. And that was the path by which he became a good and faithful servant who inherited a kingdom. Today, as we come forward to this Mass, we remember that it is here that God continues to feed us with his food at the proper time. He begins with that first stage of conversion that we need, by the Word of God and the preaching based on the Word of God. We're called to hunger for this truth, to recognize that our hearts are restless until they live with the truth, so that our entire life can be converted and we become commentaries of this truth. Second aspect, it's right here, which the Lord feeds us with himself, so that from the inside we might recognize that the Lord wants to heal our deafness, dispel our blindness. He wants to have us pant for him as we breathe his fragrance. He wants us to taste him and hunger for more. He wants us to feel his touch from the inside out so that we can become his hands and go touch others. It's here where he gives us all of that food at the proper time that we need it. But there's a conversion that's required here. It's not just about us. He wants us to live these words of consecration, to do this in memory of him, to go out and give our body and our blood and everything else we have for others, just like St. Augustine did in his second stage of conversion. It's here too that the Lord reminds us that we become stewards of all his unmerited gifts, especially the gift of his merciful love. And he wants us to turn always with that mercy and go out and bring that same mercy, not just our forgiveness, but the Lord's loving forgiveness to everybody that we meet, and call them to conversion as Augustine was called before us, as Paul was called before us, as our parents were called before us, as Father Nick and I were called before you. That's what the Lord seeks to do here. Let us ask him for that grace, so that one day with St. Augustine, with St. Monica, we might come to hear those words that Jesus formed our ears one day to hear. Come, O good and faithful servant. Enter your master's joy. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Amen.